Вариант 15.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
My idea of a perfect friend is that it's a person who stays with you in the ups and downs. A true friend is someone who's always with you, whether you need money or a shoulder to cry on. He or she is always there to support and help you without being asked. You'd really know your true friends when you're having a bad time in life. I think a perfect friend is also patient and doesn't get angry too quickly. In short, an ideal friend should be perfect with his or her friend. I have only two friends that I can really call close friends. Others are just acquaintances.
Speaker B.
I would like to have a friend of the same height as myself, because usually all my friends are shorter than me. Of course, my best friend has to be fun to talk to, and she must be a good listener as well. But most importantly, a perfect friend is someone who tells me I have something on my face if I do, and doesn't just let me walk around with it there. A perfect friend is someone that I can trust, someone who is always with me. Unfortunately, I've never had a perfect friend. All my previous friends used to lie to me, but I think my family are my best friends.
Speaker C.
An ideal friend is a person who knows everything about you and shares all the happy and depressing moments of your life. When I cry, they simply cry with me. They are the ones who are totally caring and really understanding, and they could help us in solving our problems. They cheer us up when we feel sad. They joke when we need to laugh. That's what I call perfect friends. Nowadays, I don't know whether I have a perfect friend or not because people are changing. But that's okay, as long as I am the one who is a perfect friend for my friends.
Speaker D.
A true friend is someone who is loyal and brings out the best in you. They never hesitate and tell the truth, no matter whether you've done a good or a bad thing, and try to improve you because they love you and care for you and would never ever let you down, as they are your true friends. A true friend would never go behind your back and do something shady. In short, a perfect friend is someone who never talks behind your back, no matter what. That hurts me most.
Speaker E.
Well, my best friend doesn't really comfort me when I'm upset over bad grades at school. She takes an easier way out and tickles me instead. She's rather short-tempered and often fights over little things, storms away, but returns an hour later with a chocolate cake and an apology. She appears visibly bored with my constant chatter, but surprisingly recalls even the most insignificant detail of what I've said. She has a weird way of showing that she cares for me, but the bottom line is, she does care a lot. I think that my best friend is my perfect friend for that simple reason that she's not so perfect.
Speaker F.
It's great to have true friends. They love and care for you. They will always listen to you and stand by you. True friends are honest and loyal. They will never betray you or hurt you. What really matters is that the close friend is there for you no matter what. Friends come and go, but a true one will never leave you in any situation. A perfect friend is someone who is always there to catch you when you fall, someone who you can have fun with. Well, as for my experience, all my friends leave me because they migrate to different places where it is hard to stay in touch.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
My idea of a perfect friend is that it's a person who stays with you in the ups and downs. A true friend is someone who's always with you, whether you need money or a shoulder to cry on. He or she is always there to support and help you without being asked. You'd really know your true friends when you're having a bad time in life. I think a perfect friend is also patient and doesn't get angry too quickly. In short, an ideal friend should be perfect with his or her friend. I have only two friends that I can really call close friends. Others are just acquaintances.
Speaker B.
I would like to have a friend of the same height as myself, because usually all my friends are shorter than me. Of course, my best friend has to be fun to talk to, and she must be a good listener as well. But most importantly, a perfect friend is someone who tells me I have something on my face if I do, and doesn't just let me walk around with it there. A perfect friend is someone that I can trust, someone who is always with me. Unfortunately, I've never had a perfect friend. All my previous friends used to lie to me, but I think my family are my best friends.
Speaker C.
An ideal friend is a person who knows everything about you and shares all the happy and depressing moments of your life. When I cry, they simply cry with me. They are the ones who are totally caring and really understanding, and they could help us in solving our problems. They cheer us up when we feel sad. They joke when we need to laugh. That's what I call perfect friends. Nowadays, I don't know whether I have a perfect friend or not because people are changing. But that's okay, as long as I am the one who is a perfect friend for my friends.
Speaker D.
A true friend is someone who is loyal and brings out the best in you. They never hesitate and tell the truth, no matter whether you've done a good or a bad thing, and try to improve you because they love you and care for you and would never ever let you down, as they are your true friends. A true friend would never go behind your back and do something shady. In short, a perfect friend is someone who never talks behind your back, no matter what. That hurts me most.
Speaker E.
Well, my best friend doesn't really comfort me when I'm upset over bad grades at school. She takes an easier way out and tickles me instead. She's rather short-tempered and often fights over little things, storms away, but returns an hour later with a chocolate cake and an apology. She appears visibly bored with my constant chatter, but surprisingly recalls even the most insignificant detail of what I've said. She has a weird way of showing that she cares for me, but the bottom line is, she does care a lot. I think that my best friend is my perfect friend for that simple reason that she's not so perfect.
Speaker F.
It's great to have true friends. They love and care for you. They will always listen to you and stand by you. True friends are honest and loyal. They will never betray you or hurt you. What really matters is that the close friend is there for you no matter what. Friends come and go, but a true one will never leave you in any situation. A perfect friend is someone who is always there to catch you when you fall, someone who you can have fun with. Well, as for my experience, all my friends leave me because they migrate to different places where it is hard to stay in touch.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений AG соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Well, James, I've got to admit, you have a beautiful backyard. How do you do it?
Oh, it does take time and patience. But I've also got a few secrets.
Okay. What do I have to do to make you reveal your secrets? You know, if I had the money, I'd just hire a gardener.
No, Fred, you needn't do that. I'd never hire a gardener. Working in the yard is the greatest form of relaxation that I know. It's so relaxing to hear birds singing.
You're kidding, right? I don't have any birds in my backyard.
That's not a problem. If you want the birds to stay in your backyard, then you must provide shelter for them. A birdhouse can be a cheap and easy way to do this.
I don't think I'll be able to make a birdhouse myself, and there are no shops selling them either.
Then you can try limiting the amount of grass you have in your backyard. Most songbirds don't like grass, but prefer shrubs and trees. It's good that you've got so many trees.
I would never have planted so many trees if I had known how much work they'd require.
You see, that's your problem. Your attitude is all wrong.
Excuse me, my attitude is wrong? What does attitude have to do with gardening?
You've got to love working in the backyard. That's my secret.
Love working in the backyard? What? What kind of secret is that? I expected some special lawnmower or a special type of gardening tools.
No, any lawnmower or tool will do the job. It's all in the mind.
So you think that if I had a better feeling about my work in the garden, everything would be wonderful and I'd have a beautiful lawn and healthy plants like yours, right?
Yes, that's it. You've got it.
To tell you the truth, I think you're crazy. On second thoughts, I think I'll just pay a gardener.
Haha, that won't work.
Why not?
Because he has to enjoy his gardening.
Please, James, thank you very much for your advice, but don't start it again.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Well, James, I've got to admit, you have a beautiful backyard. How do you do it?
Oh, it does take time and patience. But I've also got a few secrets.
Okay. What do I have to do to make you reveal your secrets? You know, if I had the money, I'd just hire a gardener.
No, Fred, you needn't do that. I'd never hire a gardener. Working in the yard is the greatest form of relaxation that I know. It's so relaxing to hear birds singing.
You're kidding, right? I don't have any birds in my backyard.
That's not a problem. If you want the birds to stay in your backyard, then you must provide shelter for them. A birdhouse can be a cheap and easy way to do this.
I don't think I'll be able to make a birdhouse myself, and there are no shops selling them either.
Then you can try limiting the amount of grass you have in your backyard. Most songbirds don't like grass, but prefer shrubs and trees. It's good that you've got so many trees.
I would never have planted so many trees if I had known how much work they'd require.
You see, that's your problem. Your attitude is all wrong.
Excuse me, my attitude is wrong? What does attitude have to do with gardening?
You've got to love working in the backyard. That's my secret.
Love working in the backyard? What? What kind of secret is that? I expected some special lawnmower or a special type of gardening tools.
No, any lawnmower or tool will do the job. It's all in the mind.
So you think that if I had a better feeling about my work in the garden, everything would be wonderful and I'd have a beautiful lawn and healthy plants like yours, right?
Yes, yes, that's it. You've got it.
To tell you the truth, I think you're crazy. On second thoughts, I think I'll just pay a gardener.
Haha, that won't work.
Why not?
Because he has to enjoy his gardening.
Please, James, thank you very much for your advice, but don't start it again.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите рассказ знаменитой теннисистки. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
When I'm stopped on the street, people often want to tell me that they've never forgotten my match against Bobby Riggs in 1973. Every single day of my life, people come up to me and say, "I remember watching you play that match and win." Men especially tell me this. It's amazing. They say, "I have a daughter now, and she's 10 years old. I'm raising my daughters differently because of seeing you play that match." They really insist that their daughters and sons have equal opportunities. It's been a huge shift in attitude. These men are so different from their fathers and grandfathers. My parents have always been the biggest inspiration in my life. They work three jobs so that my brother, Randy, and I could pursue our athletic dreams as kids. They taught us great lessons, which are particularly relevant today, with the economy the way it is. My parents always said, if you don't have it, don't spend it. When I was 11 and wanted to buy my first tennis racket, they didn't buy it for me. I had to work odd jobs to earn it. Their attitude was, let's see if you're really interested. Let's see if you have the focus. I guess I solved that one. Actually, I don't have much free time, but when I do have a spare minute, I enjoy reading. My favorite book is Banker to the Poor. Microlending and the Battle Against World Poverty by Mohamed Yunus, the economist who won the Nobel Prize in 2006. It's great. He explains how he developed the Grameen Bank and how through the concept of microfinancing, he was able to change a lot of people's lives. As soon as he gave out a small loan to different people, he began to visualize what that could lead to. He saw the potential. He is one of my heroes. That's what I try to do for tennis and other things. The person I admire most of all is Julie Foudy, former Olympic soccer star. She walks into a room and just lights it up. We see each other every October at the Women's Sports Foundation dinner in New York, which brings together athletes from over 130 sports. She's energetic, bright, and possesses all of the qualities that go into leadership, which sports is a great venue for. Sometimes she'll just call me and say, "Help!" We should all ask for help when we need it, particularly when we're young, and you know when you need help. It takes courage to ask for it. With her energy and her leadership qualities, Julie can do just about anything. That's great! People always think that being a great sportsman doesn't require any effort, though you believe that success is easy. Absolutely wrong! Athletes must have a daily discipline of mind, body, and soul. They have to do it all as physical exertion teaches tenacity and willpower. But you cannot just be dead from the neck up. It is also a way of thinking. The mental side of that often spells the difference between an average hitter and a good hitter, and between a good hitter and a great hitter. Life is difficult sometimes, but every time I see a ball bounce, I think about bouncing back myself. It's a philosophy. I don't only think about winning tennis matches, I also think about what I've done off the court. Everything I've done is trying to push the envelope, whether it's on or off the court, to create a more level playing field for others and to help people have a better quality of life. That's what I care about.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
When I'm stopped on the street, people often want to tell me that they've never forgotten my match against Bobby Riggs in 1973. Every single day of my life, people come up to me and say, "I remember watching you play that match and win." Men especially tell me this. It's amazing. They say, "I have a daughter now, and she's 10 years old. I'm raising my daughters differently because of seeing you play that match." They really insist that their daughters and sons have equal opportunities. It's been a huge shift in attitude. These men are so different from their fathers and grandfathers. My parents have always been the biggest inspiration in my life. They work 3 jobs so that my brother, Randy, and I could pursue our athletic dreams as kids. They taught us great lessons, which are particularly relevant today, with the economy the way it is. My parents always said, if you don't have it, don't spend it. When I was 11 and wanted to buy my first tennis racket, they didn't buy it for me. I had to work odd jobs to earn it. Their attitude was, let's see if you're really interested. Let's see if you have the focus. I guess I solved that one. Actually, I don't have much free time, but when I do have a spare minute, I enjoy reading. My favorite book is Banker to the Poor: Microlending and the Battle Against World Poverty by Mohamed Yunus, the economist who won the Nobel Prize in 2006. It's great. He explains how he developed the Grameen Bank and how through the concept of microfinancing, he was able to change a lot of people's lives. As soon as he gave out a small loan to different people, he began to visualize what that could lead to. He saw the potential. He is one of my heroes. That's what I try to do for tennis and other things. The person I admire most of all is Julie Foudy, former Olympic soccer star. She walks into a room and just lights it up. We see each other every October at the Women's Sports Foundation dinner in New York, which brings together athletes from over 130 sports. She's energetic, bright, and possesses all of the qualities that go into leadership, which sports is a great venue for. Sometimes she'll just call me and say, "Help!" We should all ask for help when we need it, particularly when we're young, and you know when you need help. It takes courage to ask for it. With her energy and her leadership qualities, Julie can do just about anything. That's great! People always think that being a great sportsman doesn't require any effort, though you believe that success is easy. Absolutely wrong! Athletes must have a daily discipline of mind, body, and soul. They have to do it all as physical exertion teaches tenacity and willpower. But you cannot just be dead from the neck up. It is also a way of thinking. The mental side of that often spells the difference between an average hitter and a good hitter, and between a good hitter and a great hitter. Life is difficult sometimes, but every time I see a ball bounce, I think about bouncing back myself. It's a philosophy. I don't only think about winning tennis matches, I also think about what I've done off the court. Everything I've done is trying to push the envelope, whether it's on or off the court, to create a more level playing field for others and to help people have a better quality of life. That's what I care about.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.